On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock,
Google demand gently takes over discovery campaigns.
CPC. Google shopping campaigns manually bid adieu to a legacy bid type.
And an in-AI accurate help assistant comes to Google Ads.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Jess Budd.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on August 18th, 2023. What is new with you, Jess?
Absolutely nothing. Other than the fact that Greg is not here with us, which is very, I don't think we've done a ladies' night by ourselves before.
Not just the two of us.
Yeah, we've done it with Shep. So yeah. We have to rebrand the ladies' night. Mm-hmm. It's goth night here at Marketing O'Clock. Greg is at he's attending a very, very important children's soccer party. It's like an end of the season thing. It's more important than it sounds. He's a sports dad. Mm-hmm. He's got to be there.
He was fast. And he had a good dribble. He could actually dribble around people and put it in the goal.
So we are holding it down. And therefore, we are dressed in black, which is very unusual for us. And I apologize for not having like thicker eyeliner or something, but I just didn't prepare very well for this. But I don't know. What's new with you, Nicole? Anything?
So this past weekend, I got to meet my friend's dog that they just adopted. And very cute. But of course, you know, with a new dog or pet, you get really excited about all the like different treats you can buy mm-hmm. and different toys you can buy. And I didn't grow up in a dog household, so all of this is like new to me. I feel like I'm experiencing a new world through their eyes. And they had all these fancy dog treats that they had bought for the new dog. This weekend, I decided to try all
yes.
of them.
Yes. Like eat them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm having a cookie. Those cookies aren't for you. They're dog treats.
No!
You know, big range of taste and flavors going on there. But one bag in particular was like a lavender, I don't know. It was based very simple ingredients, but it was branded as like nighttime treats. I think whatever was in these dog treats, the dreams were wild that night.
You're kidding me. Because it's a dog treat. So you're bigger than a dog, right? Unless it's like a huge dog.
No, it was like a medium-sized dog. Yeah.
I just feel like the dosage, if the dog is allowed to have the thing and it's that much smaller than you and you're having wild dreams from a bite, or did you eat the whole thing?
Oh, I ate the whole thing. But I mean, they were like little like niblet things.
Niblets.
Yeah. I don't know what to call them.
It's a great word. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was wild.
Do you want to talk about your dreams that you had?
I vaguely remember them, but I just remember waking up and thinking, I have not remembered a dream upon waking in a long time. And the only inconsistent thing before bed was taking the dog treat.
The lavender dog. You got to find out what these are because I want them. It seems like a legal and safe drug to experience.
Yeah. I mean, it was branded very all natural and safe. Yes. So
did it taste like lavender? What did it taste
did.
Like?
It did. Really strong. Really strong.
Have you ever had like sleepy time tea?
Mm-hmm.
And those usually just like knock you out. You don't really dream. You just kind of go out. So this could be
new
fun.
Territory.
I really hope no children are listening. They're going to start eating all the dog food in their home.
Big news in paid dropping from Google Ads this week. Demand gen campaigns will take over from discovery campaigns. So there's a lot to unpack in this announcement. Ginny Marvin from the Ads Liaison account on X announced this and posted, starting in October, all discovery campaigns will be eligible to move to demand gen, and some discovery campaigns will automatically migrate to demand gen. And she expands to say that some of the new updates with demand gen will be more reach on YouTube with shorts and in-stream placements, max clicks bidding option in addition to conversion and conversion value, X funnel measurements, so data-driven attribution, brand and search lift on YouTube. There'll be lookalike segments to reach new customers, and you'll be able to preview your ads and A/B test creative with experiments. So there is a Google form where you can sign up for this Demand Gen beta. And once in the beta, any active campaigns will be migrated to Demand Gen, but historical data will carry over. And Ginny expanded and said, for accounts without a Google rep, existing discovery campaigns will automatically move to Demand Gen throughout October and be complete by November. Some with more complex discovery campaigns may opt to wait to switch until January. And Julie Baccini at Neptune Moon on X posted, okay, so to be 100% clear for everyone, having a rep, do you mean a true Google Ads rep or team and not one of the ones that change and call us quarterly? And do you need a real rep to be able to wait to switch until quarter four? Ginny responded, accounts with more complex campaigns can ask their account teams to upgrade them on their behalf. All remaining accounts will be automatically upgraded starting in January. I just found it funny. That was kind of like a
reiteration skirting around.
Yeah, that didn't really answer the question.
What is more complex?
I'm assuming bigger budgets, but she's never going
to
say that.
Yeah, well, they should, because this doesn't mean anything to anybody.
I know. At Digital Sam I Am posted that he was playing around with this campaign type and had some takeaways. To highlight a few, and overall just a positive sentiment, he said that he liked that you could create lookalike segments, which are really good if you need to jumpstart the machine learning and reduce spend or wasted spend. The ad preview tool felt like it was borrowed from Meta, but, you know, good either way. We really like the ability to A/B test creative and use existing smart bidding strategies. Access to Shorts inventory is huge. And then finally, the brand lift and search lift metrics, which are available and were only previously limited to just YouTube campaigns. So overall positive sentiment about all these new features. Finally, just checking in on Ben Kruger's Demand Gen test that we covered on the show back in July, I believe. So back in July, Ben had posted that he lost 8K testing Demand Gen, but since then, he gave us an update this past week, said he dialed it in with some help from their team, who I'm assuming he's referring to Google.
He has one of those complex campaigns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said that the campaign setup is quite nice. It's basically a brand new flow within the platform that allows for easier duplicating and editing. We'll see about that. And he has screenshots of the ROAS from, it looks like, a single image ad campaign with a ROAS of 42.83%, which I'm assuming is a little bit better than losing 8K. It's not really clear. He just has like the cropped screenshots. So
again, very complex.
Yeah.
None of us know.
What else is going on?
More PPC news. So from Nicola Ages for Search Engine Land, Nicola says, Google Ads to sunset enhanced CPC on shopping campaigns. Shopping campaigns using eCPC will behave as though they are using manual CPC bidding instead later this year. Note that last part, because I personally was very shocked that they're not being upgraded to a random smart bidding type. So I guess that's good if you're just going to do something. I know eCPC and manual CPC are very closely related. So it's like the closest thing to what the advertiser was doing already, which is nice. And bad marketers might not even notice the change. So there's that. And that's the what. So as for when, later this year is October. So literally just in time for the holidays for you shopping folks, like e-commerce, this might be a big shift to you. Again, if you're using eCPC, you should have a good handle on, at least knowing things might fluctuate a little bit. Like, you're still doing manual bidding. It's just enhanced. So at least that is happening for you. And I think Nicola is paraphrasing here, but she's referencing an email that was sent to advertisers, and Google is framing this as, switching to manual CPC bidding will give you more control over bids and budgets, which could be advantageous. And we need to write that down.
Put that in stone and make that part of my grave.
Right?
Because they said that.
They said it. They said it. And again, those are her words, but she's summing up their words. That is one for the history books. Google, I don't think ever before, at least not that we've talked about, has said that more control is better. They've never said that. To be fair, you might need to revise your gravestone because they backpedaled a little bit, also noting that ECPC was launched more than a decade ago. New strategies such as target ROAS, maximize conversion value, and fully automated campaigns like PMAX can help you achieve the same or better results. Again, write it down, the fact that they said the same. They certainly didn't say worse, but they also weren't just like, switch it up. But then they backpedaled even more because they recommended that advertisers try either the one-click target ROAS experiments for shopping or, you guessed it, just trying Performance Max. So I feel like maybe the delivery was a little bit softer this time and they were warming you up with the warm and fuzzies just to tell you to just not manually bid because it's too much work for you. But control is good and we know that. So really, it just sounds like they're sick of maintaining ECPC, and this change for now is just for shopping campaigns, but the community, myself included, I'm reading this and I'm like, the writing is on the wall. They're just going to deprecate, depreciate, whatever we like to say, the whole thing, I think, eventually. So again, this news, as we're reporting it, it's just for shopping campaigns, ECPC in October. Those campaigns will be not upgraded. They will be treated as if it's manual bidding. But again, I think we all know that it's just going to die soon and probably manual bidding will go with it. But I'm no Finstradamus, but he's not here, so I'm trying. What else, Nicole? You got more.
All right. So Nicola also covered that Google Ads Help Guide has a new AI assistant in open beta. So select users were invited to test and provide feedback. And Julie Baccini was testing this tool and had a screenshot from the chat bot, which says, "While I know a lot, I'm still learning and may make some mistakes. If I do, please leave feedback so I can learn." I mean, at least they're not coming out, or at least they are coming out in the beginning and saying, like, this might be inaccurate information, but again, not helpful.
Not helpful. More to come on that in a minute. Now it's time for this week's Take of the Week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call. And by more to come in a minute, I mean right now, because this week's take of the week does come from One Salt J. She posted on X in talking about that beta. She posted, "Google Ads has an AI assistant in beta in the help section. Comes with a disclaimer. While I do know a lot, I'm still learning, may make some mistakes." Nicole just read that to you. Here's the take. Presumably, how would someone seeking help know if the help is wrong? And accurate. Mm-hmm. B, I think we should all just assume it's not right, given that they prefaced it with, "I don't know what I'm doing." Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I wrote in my notes, LOL. I just, like, if I'm asking you for help or information, it's because I don't know the answer and I need some guidance. And I know when I give advice, a lot of times I say, I have no business giving this advice. So at least Google is doing that. But like, then don't take advice from me. Now it's time for this week's ICYMI. ICYMI, people. This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI this week comes from Nitish Deer at PPC Nitish on X. He writes, "If you're using enhanced conversions in Google Ads, turn on conversion-based customer lists as well. It uses the hashed first-party data to build a customer list for each conversion action enhanced conversions are enabled for." And there's a screenshot where you literally can just go into your campaign settings, check the box for conversion tags. He also adds, "This list type is only available if enhanced conversions are set up through tag-based implementations only. These lists are automatically used in smart bidding and increase the performance as well."
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in paid news, Kirk Williams at PPC Kirk posted on X, "Heads up, this appears to be coming down the pipe. The old standard shopping campaign's ROAS target was 200%. I never got confirmation on what the PMAX target for max conversions, no ROAS set, is, but whatever it is will be gone now. So heads up." And he has a screenshot of what looks like an email coming from Google or some Google rep indicating this change. And he goes on to say, I know there are brands with some products who care about growth more than tracked profitability, so I assume it's to allow a campaign type for that while still allowing for ROAS targets to be added by those who care. To be completely honest, I think this change makes sense and is how it should have been from the beginning. But what bugs me is the random rollout of something now that we're 2 years into PMax, which could significantly impact targetless PMax campaigns, especially on those who weren't aware of this change. I think a lot of people are going to say, what happened to my PMax campaigns last week with this change?
To be fair, I feel like people are saying that every week, but for different reasons.
Yeah. Google's Performance Max Best Practice Guide got some major updates this week, and the document outlines how switching from standard shopping to PMax can increase conversions. I feel like that's no surprise whatsoever that Google's saying that. Mm-hmm. They recommend running A-B tests to prove that switching from standard shopping to PMax can increase conversions. I'm actually surprised about this, that they're saying we recommend A-B testing and not just upgrading? Yeah, not just upgrading.
In quotes.
The guide also goes over how to leverage Google's performance planner, tips on reducing ROAS targets to boost viability during key periods like holidays, recommendations on consolidating campaign structure to help AI optimization, which, I mean, in my opinion, that's less control and less data, but you do you. And then finally, how to use its new customer acquisition with high value optimization tool in beta, which was covered earlier this year. And X is depreciating its account promotion ads, which enabled brands to highlight their account in users' feeds to gain more followers. So this was the oldest ad format offered by the platform, which I didn't know. But this format doesn't really align with X's new strategy of leaning into multimedia tools like video. And this change has already gone into effect in some regions, but the timeline for full depreciation is unclear. And last up in paid, Google Ads has launched a paid pilot offering enhanced customer service for small businesses.
No way!
I gasped when I saw this. It came in right before we recorded the show. Google Ads and small businesses together in a sentence.
They just don't. Even Google business profiles and small business don't belong together in a sentence.
I know.
As we know.
Right. And so apparently a select number of agencies and advertisers have been invited to this new program, which will offer one-on-one support tailored to specific customer needs. So I'm not sure how much I am hopeful for this, but...
Conspiracy theory here. So they did say agencies, and I feel like they said that because they thought it would help them not look bad, because agencies tend to know what they're doing. But if it's for small businesses and then they say advertisers, they mean people like my dad, who texts me every time he receives a phone call from somebody claiming to be from Google trying to do X, Y, or Z, or he gets a hosting bill from somebody posing as Google. And I understand that this is Google, but it's dedicated sucker support. They are trying to get people to spend more money that don't know what they're doing. And it's dedicated support, so you feel like somebody is really on your side, but I guarantee you they will not be. And they're just going to get – it's like the postcard you get in the mail where they're like, you should sign up for Google Ads and we'll give you $100 if you spend $500. And it all sounds really nice and fluffy and it has the cool drawings. But like, this is for suckers. That is my conspiracy theory. This is their way of squeezing more money out of people who really don't have it to give, particularly people who can't hire an agency. Small businesses really aren't hiring an agency. So maybe they mean small agencies when they say agencies, but they're not going after people that know what they're doing and giving dedicated support, just knowing what we know about their support. I don't like it. I don't like it. I hate it. I think it's evil. And they used to say they would never do that, but they don't say it anymore for a reason. First up in the organic news this week, more updates to Google's SGE search generative experience, including the ability to hover over certain words to preview their definitions and see related images or diagrams related to the topic. I like that. If I don't know what something means and I can learn, that's great, assuming the information is good. This one is over my head, so I'm just going to quote the TechCrunch article on it. There is an update to the AI-generated code snippets for how-to and debugging that will, quote, color code segments of code with syntax highlights, making it easier to identify different elements like keywords, comments, and strings.
So get excited for that. They are also experimenting just in search labs for now with SGE while browsing. So it opens up kind of like a sidebar, essentially, when you're browsing that notes key points from the page, as well as an explore section, which is meant to help users kind of jump to different sections of the content that answer specific questions. That looks kind of cool, but I can scroll myself. Okay. YouTube is disabling links on Shorts to cut down on spam. Links in Shorts descriptions, comments, and vertical live feeds will no longer be clickable starting at the end of this month, August 31st. They're also removing the clickable social media icons from all desktop channel banners. But YouTube does plan to give creators a new space on channel profiles to promote or to place prominent clickable links from August 23rd forward. So they're trying to cut down on spam. And in turn, they're cutting down on some features, but they're offering other ways to link to things. So that's great. And speaking of Shorts, a smart move for Google's wallet, YouTube is enabling linking between Shorts and long-form videos, which notably will direct viewers away from that short, which is a format that can't display pre- or mid-roll ads, to long-form videos, which support ads. Makes sense. And it also does make sense. I feel like a lot of creators have done Shorts just because they have to.
Right.
And it could be a nice way, if you have the time, to create like a preview of longer form comment or just something to tease it, bring people over. Yeah, there's more ad revenue to be had. But at the same time, like, we have talked at length about how YouTube really is about long form and people love that. And so it's, I guess, a way to bring people back to that. But of course, only because it's motivated by cash. Gizmodo apparently published an article, he put in quotes, exposing CNET for deleting thousands of pages to, quote, game Google search. There's references to content pruning as a common SEO practice. So what they did is thousands of articles were deleted in recent weeks from CNET, and they basically decided to redirect, repurpose, or remove by looking at metrics such as page views, backlink profiles, or the amount of time passed since the last update. And they said that they did this because it sends a signal to Google that CNET is fresh, relevant, and worthy of being placed higher than our competitors in search engines. That's according to an internal memo, again, that Gizmodo found and Search Engine Land's reporting on it. What Danny said is that CNET needs better advice on how SEO works because deleting content does not signal those things, and publishing relevant, trustworthy, helpful, quality content for your audience on a technically sound website is what makes you worthy of greater organic search visibility. I feel like, yeah, like that's just basic stuff. Like, if something's no good or it's irrelevant or it's spam or you don't believe in it anymore, like, those are all fine reasons. But from an SEO perspective, if something's old, who cares? Update it if you have something fresh to add to it or something, but I don't know. So Danny Sullivan, via his search liaison account on X, had posted, are you deleting content from your site because you somehow believe Google doesn't like old content? That is not a thing. Our guidance doesn't encourage this. Older content can still be helpful too. I just feel like this is all common sense. And then he went on to talk more about, you know, there could be some issues with old content, like broken links, or if it's no longer relevant. Again, some of the same things that I just said. As y'all know, I'm not a hardcore SEO lady. Greg Finn is not here, so he would probably have a lot more to say about this. But the article is very long. It is very nuanced. It referenced some advice that Google gave when Panda first hit. If you do SEO and you're thinking about removing content from your site just because it is old, I suggest that you read this, because there's a lot of insight there that, again, could be really helpful to you. But CNET was exposed for doing this. So generally negative. Don't just cull for the shit of it, people. Moving on from Charles Farina at Charles Farina on X, the official Google Sheets connector for Google Analytics 4 is now available. That is wonderful. Love to see it. Thank you for letting us know about that. And finally, here in organic, I'm pretty sure we talked about this initial piece a few weeks ago, but just in case we didn't, or if you forgot, Google has a new Merchant Center policy about AI reviews, and they essentially said that it is against Google's policies to have them. They are disallowed and considered spam, noting that if you find such content, you should mark it as spam in your feed with the is spam attribute. So that's not necessarily new news. It dropped Search Engine Roundtable a couple of weeks ago. Thank you, Barry Schwartz, for that. But in that same vein, Glenn Gabe has found some interesting things in the wild this week. And they're not AI-generated reviews, but they are AI-generated summaries of reviews from real customers, which could
be helpful. Mm-hmm. Everyone likes a good roll up of the general sentiment about something, and that can actually be helpful. So Glenn noted that Newegg has rolled this out, as well as Amazon, who's been testing it for a few months, and he shared examples of both, noted they're actually helpful, again, from like that distillation of information point, but at the same time, some of the categorization filters aren't that great. So the cool thing is, again, there's like a summary, and both of these examples, we'll have them up in the video if you're watching. There's a summary of generally what some customers say, and I believe it does pull in some exact verbiage from some of the reviews. But then it also has like tags, for lack of a better word, so you can filter things like the Newegg example has pros for fast performance, good for gaming. This is about a computer. Good for overclocking. I don't know what that means. Efficient performance. And then the cons is that it runs hot. And then you can click on those things and you can go to the reviews about those things. And in the Amazon example, Glenn was saying that the initial AI summary based on customer reviews is good, but filtering by topic is not great. So you only get a snippet from each review without seeing who posted it. And then obviously you can't access the full review, which is a big deal. I feel like you would want to click into that and read it. Mm-hmm. It's there, just not from here. So the experience leaves something to be desired, but I do think it's a really interesting take. Like, yeah, if you can't have AI generated reviews, nor should you, unless the AI is using the product. But mm-hmm. it is nice to help find things that you care about and try and get to them. But if you can't get to them, then it's really not helpful. So I don't know. That's it for organic. Nicole, what is happening in social?
All right. So from at X Daily on X, X will be bringing back its client council, which is an invite-only group of top brands and advertisers. It will have early previews of new features and give suggestions on brand safety. Elon has previously made clear the council can give feedback but cannot control free speech on X. And when Linda Yaccarino interviewed Elon in April, one of the ideas she floated was to bring back this council. So it looks like they took her word. And this was supposed to help restore brand trust in the platform and help serve as a feedback loop to X. Where's our invite?
We have so much to say about this platform. I feel like that's not fair. We are not seen.
We aren't.
No.
I want to be part of this client council.
Me too. I mean, we're dressed in X colors today.
We are.
We've
Elon,
never
noticed
worn blue.
Us.
Yeah. Talk to us, Elon. We got thoughts.
And we love Canada. In other news, Enrique at EnriqueBRGN posted on X that the communities feature on X is now available for 100% of users. We hope this will show you more content related to your interest in the For You. Let us know if you have any feedback, and thank you for using communities. In more X news, after being criticized for failing to pay content creators on time earlier this month, X has reduced the eligibility threshold for its ad revenue sharing program. So you now only need to generate 5 million impressions in the previous 3 months, as opposed to 15 million. You'll still need to be subscribed to Blue or be a verified organization and have at least 500 followers, but the minimum payout has been lowered to $10 instead of $50. So let's more people cash in, I guess.
Yeah, rejoice.
And LinkedIn is adding more AI-powered tools to Sales Navigator and Recruiter. So first up, Sales Navigator updates. There is a new account prioritization feature to highlight key users to contact for sales pitches. You'll also see more signals to the buyer intent markers, including website visits for companies and new connections among colleagues. And there's a new personas feature that will enable marketers to build templates of their ideal lead candidate. And for updates for LinkedIn Recruiter, there is a new likelihood of interest in the platform, which will highlight members that are more likely to engage with you and respond to your outreach. And YouTube Music is launching a new TikTok-style short-form personalization video feed called Samples.
Say that 5 times fast.
Yeah. So this new tab is kind of like TikTok or other short form video feeds. Users can swipe vertically in the new samples feed and discover new songs or music videos. Each clip in the feed offers a glimpse into the artist's music video and feel of a song recommended to you. And then you can click through and watch the whole music video if you want. So Brandon Belinsky, who's one of the directors of product management at YouTube, said one of the biggest insights we've seen in the past couple of years is all users, but especially younger users, are discovering more and more music through short form video. I can say that's true.
Yeah.
I feel like as far as TikTok goes, that's the only thing I feel like I've experienced with a lot of like the viral songs that people are using in their TikToks will like be circulated on other platforms too and radio and stuff. So
that's interesting. Have any made it onto our Marketingo playlist that have influenced you?
I'm sure there have been songs, but I don't know if I necessarily probably knew they were TikTok.
Mm-hmm. They're just
I like to
an
say
earworm.
I discovered before TikTok people did, but
you're gonna be a hipster goth. Yeah.
Yeah. So this new samples tab has already begun rolling out in YouTube Music to users on both iOS and Android globally.
Also rolling out, I don't think globally, nobody said anything, but from Barry Schwartz at Rusty Brick on X, Google Business Profiles now lets some businesses add social media links to their listings. And then he's got a screenshot, I'm assuming from a help article, or perhaps the announcement. It says that you can add one social media link per platform to your business profile for Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. So it says that they may not be available for all users and they are currently only available in select regions. But this is actually a really helpful feature. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that they roll this out everywhere because Google and their relationship with small business. But this is a small helpful thing. So yeah. I hope everybody does get that.
And I will add, like, I do find it annoying as a customer to have to get all like business hour updates or like special event updates on social media. But I understand, like, as a small business owner, you can't do it all necessarily. So this is going to be really helpful.
Exactly. It's just another tool to get the word out for people like my dad, who is actually very good at updating like special hours and things like that. He's got his Google Business profile on lock, although I don't know how he even knows how to get there, but he does.
He Googles his business.
He does. And you should too. Sergeant Peppers, hot sauces, etc. Only if you live in Western New York and want to drive there because he's not shipping anywhere. Is anyone using Telegram? Yeah. I didn't think so. But if you are, you can now have stories. So not only does anyone not really use it, sorry if you're listening and you do, but they're finally jumping on the stories bandwagon. I feel like they're really far behind here. Anyway, it's officially rolling out to all users. New features to rejoice about on other platforms. Instagram is adding new music options, including soundtracks for collaborative posts, as well as the ability to put music over carousel posts, which, other than the fact that you have to manually scroll through a carousel, it's very much like when my mix CD was playing over there and my computer, my desktop computer, that my gateway that I got from my bat mitzvah, I had like a photo like scrolling screensaver. And it feels like that. It's very nostalgic, very nice. It's like even before MySpace. And I will say, regarding MySpace, cease and desist Andrew Hutchinson for even mentioning it in your article, because move over MySpace is my thing. And MySpace was not a thing when you had a website. I don't know if that's true. But he doesn't listen to the show. Never has. Will not look at us, so I don't care. According to Mashable, we're just going to go back to X here, because why not? The creator monetization efforts over there are not doing too hot. The article noted that only around 94,000 net users have signed up for X Premium between July 1st and August 10th, and they chalk this up to a really unconvincing pitch. I don't think this is word for word, but they summed it up as, if you pay us, we might start paying you. So I feel like we just reported on people making a ton of money, but
yeah,
that might have been a meta-sized error. I'm just so sick of talking about this, and we will continue to, because it's what the people want. And I do have more news from the expert from TechCrunch. X, formerly known as Twitter, was throttling traffic to websites that the social network's owner Elon Musk publicly dislikes. So the platform was slowing down the speed that it would take when accessing a link from X to a bunch of different websites, including the New York Times, Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky, Threads, Reuters, and Substack. And they have apparently been reversing that, or it appears that they are reversing that slow access as of Tuesday afternoon. We're recording here on Wednesday. This, again, it just feels like an attack. You're throttling people's access. Like, the article talks about ad dollars. Obviously, once you get to those websites, they make money off the ads that are there. And if it's loading too slow, people just aren't going to go. That's a pretty shitty thing to do. It's rude.
Yeah.
It's not a good user experience.
I was going to say, like, I don't care what link you're trying to go to. If you're having a poor experience on X, then you're less likely to use the platform.
Agree. Very short-sighted. Very short-sighted, not thinking about the wallet. But I do love this dead bird image. Do you see this? It's like yeah. The ex just stabbed the bird in the back. And he's like, oh. And he just looks super dramatic. But it's just that he's upside down in the same position he's always been in. But I do like that. So at least we got that out of it. And finally here in social, Substack is looking more and more like a proper social network these days. They did announce this week that a new follow button is here that will allow users to follow writers without having to actually subscribe to their newsletter. So that's cool. Maybe you don't want something in your inbox every day, but you like to hear from somebody and just want to see what they're up to and then, you know, maybe subscribe later. So I like that. We will end on a high note here for once. And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
This week's Working Hard or Hardly Working for me is setting up Meta accounts. So I don't think I've actually ever set one up from scratch and led a client through the setup process, but I did this in the past week. And it took a couple of days to even figure out, like, what instructions the client was following versus the instructions we sent over, and then getting access to everything. Like, basic client setup and onboarding stuff, but it makes it 10 times harder when the help article that we were linked to isn't accurate to the actual experience that they had when they were trying to grant us access. And so we were like, I don't understand why, like, these instructions, there's like 3 steps to it in the help article. But then we ended up hopping on a screen share with a client, and there's definitely more than 3 steps. So Meta, update your help articles, make them a little more detailed, because that was just such a waste of our time.
And make the process easier. So this was going on while you were out of office. This was happening for days before that. Like, this was a week long, maybe more process. Mm-hmm. Nobody's fault. We have had issues every single time we have tried to help somebody set up either a new account or just give us access. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just constantly changing or what, but it is impossible. We have never had a smooth one. People have claimed ad accounts and taken it over and you can't get it back. Like, the whole thing is awful. It is absolutely awful. And the fact that is still a thing. And yeah, they could just update some documentation and make it easier for everyone, but it's impossible. I got a hardly working, or I don't know. I guess it's working and you should just know it's a thing. I did not know that Chrome caches redirects. So we set up a couple of redirects for a client earlier this week, and I went to check them and they went to the wrong place. Something happened. There was like a character appended or something really stupid to the URL. And I'm like, okay, we need to fix this. This is an easy fix. We go in and we fix the redirect to go to the proper place. And I'm trying to test it. And it's not working. No, it was working. The old version of the redirect was just cached in my browser. So FYI, Chrome caches redirects. Other browsers may too. I didn't check that. But something that I learned this week, that's for sure. And now for this week's
cool tool.
As a reminder, our cool tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool. This week's cool tool is a list that exists to make your job easier. It's Holly Kelly's 11 free tools for PPC campaign management on search engine land. Some of these you might already know, like the Facebook Ads Library, but others you might not have heard of, like the Trends Tool Glimpse. I had never heard of that one. And as the title suggests, there are 11. They're all free. And on top of that, Holly breaks down exactly what you can use each for. So something like the Google Ads Transparency Center, again, probably something you've heard of. It's already on your radar, but maybe you haven't really thought about how you could use it for competitive research or at all. So it's very thought-provoking no matter what you are doing. And I just think it's a good read. It's a quick read. and a bookmark that you should definitely save. So as always, we will have the link in our newsletter, marketingclock.com/newsletter, as well as on Discord, community.marketingclock.com. So pick your poison and check it out. Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week, an article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
And this week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Fred Valleys on Search Engine Land. He wrote an article covering Google Ads scripts ushering a new era with API access. So this means that advertisers can directly integrate with capabilities in the ads API and not just the ads entities and functions that the scripts teams have enabled. So he breaks it down on Search Engine Land really well, explaining that this is a game changer because historically the API has been a stronghold for developers, large in-house ad agencies, and people with more technical prowess. But with this update, the ads API is no longer the exclusive domain of seasoned developers. As always, we'll have this article linked in our show notes, marketingclock.com/newsletter or community.marketingclock.com. And now on to our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find over at playlist.marketingclock.com. Jess, what's going on the playlist this week?
I am going with Fire by Noah Gunderson.
And I will be going with Goth Kid for our goth night tonight by Princess Nokia. All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
Can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join. Welcome to this week's Shootin' the Heck, where after our famous Friday news show, we don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
And ladies and gentlemen, today, as expected, we are once again playing everybody's favorite game. I know you love this game, but it is a family-friendly show, so we're rebranding it slightly. We are going to play Kiss, Marry, Kill with inanimate objects.
KMK.
All right, game maker, go for it.
So the first KMK is bagel, scone, croissant.
Oh, that's hard. I am going to kill the scone. I feel like somebody's got to go, and that's just it. And kiss the croissant, and I'm just like, I am committed to bagels. I'll marry bagels.
I'm also going to marry the bagel. I am going to kill the croissant and kiss the scone.
What?
Explain
yourself.
I'm not
a croissant guy. So they're always like super buttery. Gives me a stomachache. Tastes really good, but they just never agree with me. I don't like them.
Wrong, but interesting.
Nicole, it is what it is.
Croissant. I'm going to marry the croissant, kill the scone. Like, get out of here with your crust. And then I'll kiss the bagel. All right, next one. Google Sheets, Google Docs, Google Slides.
Real Sophie's choice, Nicole. We need these tools. For our purposes, for what I use them for, slides are great, but I think we got to kill them. I'll kiss Sheets, but I live in Google Docs. I'd marry Docs. So I know Tables has like no opinion on this whatsoever. If he did, it's going to be made up. So we'll just skip him, Nicole.
All right. I will marry Google Sheets.
You would.
I'd kiss Google Docs and I'd kill Google Slides. Like,
yeah, I know. PowerPoint was really fun in high school.
It
like
was.
Making animations, yeah, and slideshows about nothing. But as far as like real world applications, we've used it.
Yeah, but it's good for like collaboration. Cans, plastic bottles, or glass?
Ooh. I feel like you should go first. You haven't gone first.
Okay. Cans are environmentally friendly compared to bottles and glass. So I would marry cans. I'd kill the plastic bottle. Like, obviously. Horrible for the environment. And then I'd kiss glass.
Yeah. I'm perfectly aligned with you. I spend a lot of time with cans. Like, my favorite thing when they're empty is to pull the little tabs off, and it just brings me such satisfaction. I would say I love cans, so mm-hmm. I'd marry cans. I'm with you. Yeah, 100% of the way.
All three of us are aligned then, because I'm the same exact way. I love cans.
Wow. Yeah. The synergy.
It's just the right answer.
Crayons, markers, or colored pencils?
I would kiss markers. I would kill crayons and I would marry colored pencils.
What do you have against markers?
Nothing. I'm not killing them.
Oh, what did you say?
Oh, wait, did I say kill markers?
I think you said kiss markers, yeah, right? Because I was thinking how good that would smell. Listening.
Oh, the scent ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, those were good.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a permanent marker?
Mm-hmm. I might marry the marker. You're selling this. I think crayons smell good too, but markers smell better. I think are we killing crayons?
I would kill colored pencils. Like, you have to sharpen them. And crayons do the same thing. Yeah. Also, markers do the same thing. If you want color.
I think we really just want to marry markers.
Black Sharpies.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Olive oil, vegetable oil, sesame oil.
Oh. You go first. I'm struggling.
I'd marry olive oil, kill sesame oil, and kiss vegetable oil.
I don't want to, I feel like I have to disagree with you for the sake of entertainment, but I'm kind of right there with you. I'm right there with you. I don't know the last time I've used or experienced sesame oil, so it's probably not fair, but olive oil for the long haul. You could do so much with it.
I know.
It's so tasty. It says Evu on a menu, and I just love seeing that. Like, that's where, yeah. I'm with you. Tables, alignment?
Yes.
Synergy?
Perfect alignment.
Aligned in oils. Well, I hope you enjoyed that super family-friendly version of Shooting the Heck. Maybe the most tame we've ever had, but also the most thought-provoking in a while. And I might regret some of my decisions later. But thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.